For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.
Okay, welcome everyone. We're going to start again from the beginning of chapter 7 because it's such a nice chapter. The value, one of the big values of Kohelet is just to take one line and think about it and use it as a theme or if sometimes a certain verse a person relates to, and they take that with them for life. It's a and so like when you learn chapter books, it's kind of hard to do that because you're used to, well, what's the theme of the whole chapter or the theme of the whole book? But Kohelet is not like that. Even one, just taking one line can give a person direction or can motivate them, and so that's a different way of doing things. There's an interesting custom that the Art Scroll Siddur mentions that every person, we the Jewish people, are connected to Torah. In other words, every person has a spark of the divine in him, and the Torah is the divine, it is Hashem's will. And there's an idea that in a person's initials are hinted to in the Torah. So if a person takes their initials of their first letter of their name and the last letter of their name and finds a verse with that initial, maybe that verse will speak to that person. And in the Art Scroll, they have it at the end of the Shmona Esrei, and they say that you can find a verse. And my verse is in this upcoming chapter, but I can't tell you that that verse is a theme for me. At least I haven't figured it out yet. Nothing wrong with the verse.
Reish Nun,
that's right. Okay. but just the concept, though, of having a verse, there's the idea that when it comes to final judgment, we're all going to be very nervous. Our whole lives will be hanging in front of us. When they ask us, do you have anything to say for yourself? So we're going to be very much afraid because we're going to find out that a lot of the things that we perhaps during our lifetime we thought were a good excuse, in the world of truth we'll see they're not good excuses. So the custom is to take this pasuk that represents our name. If we say it often enough, we'll remember it. And so in the and again in the Art Scroll Siddur, they have it at the very, very end of Shmona Esrei. They have a reference to it. A person doesn't have to have it. It's just the idea, though, that it's good to have a sentence. Some people pick a little piece of Torah that, or a little book that they choose to have, that they review, and they do it over and over and over again because there's somewhere in Torah that speaks to you, and a person just has to find it. And there were people in the what was called the Musar school who would take a verse and sometimes repeat that verse hundreds and thousands of times, just the same verse over and over again, until they it became part of them. So the first one over here, though, is Tov Shem Mishem and Tov. The importance of having a good name, the importance of being thought of in a good way. When people think of you, how do you want them to think of you? What are they going to think? So there's certain people that have a good name. They just, people's interaction with these people is just wonderful. They're just sweet, good people, and it's a whenever people want to be their neighbor, they want to get a ride with them, they want to sit next to them. Why? Because that person is a good person. Their interactions with that person are good, they're honest, they're straightforward. So there might be other people that have lots of money, they have lots of good oil, but what's better? So Tov Shem Mishem and Tov, a person's name, who they are, what they stand for, that's better than the good oil. The Yom HaMavis Miyom Hivaldu. And a life at the end of a person's life, when they've stayed on the right path and they haven't, they've done the right things, that's actually better than the day a person is born, because when a person is born, there's no way to know what's going to be. But after a person has lived their lives, a person should feel good if they have stayed on the right path. There's so many people in life that they take a wrong turn, and they get involved in all kinds of things. So the day of death can be better than the day of one's birth. There could be other meanings to this as well, but that was the way I chose to learn it. We look at something called the Day of Death. It's what's called a yahrzeit. It's like an anniversary of the death. And we believe that there's a certain power to the day where a person goes back, goes back to Hashem. That's a powerful day. And sometimes different people have different strengths, and we sometimes know that we're not equal to the strengths of those people, but sometimes on the anniversary of their passing, we can connect to that power. We can find strength from the day of their death. That's the yahrzeit. The most famous one would probably be Lag BaOmer. That's the yahrzeit of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. He was a famous sage that passed away. Another famous one is the death of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the Zion Adar, the 7th of Adar. But they're really, I think, because we're not, a lot of us, we just live in such a physical world, and what really happened is that in the 17th century, we're such an ancient people, the guy named Shabtai Tzvi got us all messed up talking about souls and the world to come and the Messiah. And so it was such a bad experience that we stopped talking about, spiritual things in some ways, because the people that were talking about spiritual things, a lot of them became nutty. A lot of them were nutty. A lot of them were high on drugs. And in the Middle East, Muhammad, by the way, was most of the time stoned out of his mind. He had all kinds of visions, and that was just a lot of the Arab leaders are too. It was part of the Middle East culture is that they are on. Because of that, though, because of Shabtai Tzvi, people stop talking about things of the spirit. Because we get nervous when people talk about, we don't know definitively, because we're not in that world. We know, and the people abuse that and say, that they know about spirits and other things and the other world and the Messiah and the, there is this concept of a yahrzeit of people that have passed on, and of there are things to be learned from it. I'm just explaining why modern Jewry, we don't talk too much about things about spirits and deceased and the world to come. It's just not as popular. But there is what to learn. And the day of a person's birthday there's a debate about birthdays, if they're meant to be celebrated. And how does Judaism look at birthdays? So if you look in the Torah, it talks about Paro's birthday. That's the only it's funny. There's almost absent a reference to the day of one's birth. It's not as far as celebrating. It's not really referenced so much in the Torah. So there's a little bit of a debate about it. Some people feel that a person should celebrate their birthday because we have to be grateful. And so each new year we have the Shechiyanu. We've lived to this time. We lived another year. Thank God. But whether or not a birthday is like, today's my birthday, does that entitle me to something, or do I get free? I get a free drink, or I get a free soda. I get whatever it is. There's a little bit of a debate about that. But he's saying over here that the day of a person's death is better than the day of one's birth. So again, we're learning it that after a person has lived a good life, that's better than when they're born, when you don't know. But we're also saying that there's certain spiritual things that a person gets from celebrating a yahrzeit, from celebrating the day that a person goes to heaven, so to speak, or focusing on what that person meant to you on the yahrzeit. A lot of people fast on a yahrzeit. There are different customs that people have to try to make that time a special time.
Does it elevate that soul, or it's for elevating us?
Good question. Both, maybe.
Probably. But that's what I've heard, that it elevates the soul. But
Right, it does. But I'm more focusing on at least on what we get from it, on what we. But I think it's both. But the point I want to make over here is he seems to say they're both good. He just says it's better. The day of death is better than the day of birth. That doesn't mean the day of birth is not good. Sure, celebrate your birthday, but a person's birthday, but really it's what a person, after they've lived a good life, what they've done with it. It's just an interesting verse, like I said. Number two, verse two. Tov lecha sobeis avim lecha sobeis mishta. It's better to go and comfort people that are mourning and show compassion and than it is to go to a house of celebration. And we noted that the word mishta, it comes from the word drinking. Drinking is a little different than feasting, perhaps, you know, from shastia, from drinks. Kasher uso kol adam. One of the reasons is you go to celebrate, you know, we don't know when we're going to have, if we're going to, you know, a person has a wedding or they have a certain kind of celebration, but everybody knows that they're only here in this world for a certain amount of time. Uso kol adam. That's the people have to realize that we're here for a finite amount of time and we have a job to do. It's a sobering thing, but it's a productive thing to go to a house of mourning and to realize that life is short. And the meaning of life being short is that you want to make sure to do the right things and not to waste it. But that's so important because so many people waste their life, they waste their time. Verse 3. So this one, verse 3, again, we did these verses before, but it just doesn't hurt to review it. Drop tov kas mechok. If you had to choose between being like totally lightheaded or totally serious, he's saying seriousness is better than being totally lightheaded. Ki bara panim yitav lev. If a person is serious, he'll make sure to do things right. A person is... Now, the truth is, this word really means anger. But most people, we don't view anger as a good thing. So most people don't interpret the word kas here to be anger. In fact, our translation doesn't use the word angry. It says grief. I don't like the word grief either. But I think it means that the seriousness is a better quality than a person that's like totally lightheaded. I would say that there's a lot of confusion because we talk about how valuable it is to be joyous and simcha, but that's why I chose the word seriousness. Even if you're in joy, but it doesn't mean you don't take things serious. Leif chacham in bebezavu, the heart of the wise realizes that life is short. The leif chsilim, whereas the fools, they just go, they're waiting for the next party. They're waiting for the next day off. That's the bevez simcha. That's all they think about. Verse 5, Tov Lishma, I think this is where we left off. We were talking about rebuke, how really we should be grateful for rebuke. If somebody tells us that if we forgot something or we left, if somebody tells us you left your lights on in your car, you would be so thankful. You'd say, I appreciate it, because otherwise my battery would go dead. You're not going to yell at them, how dare you tell me I left my lights on and I made a mistake. Who are you to tell me I left my lights on? You realize the person is only helping you by giving you the rebuke. So I think the problem is, in our society, when people tell you something, it's not because they love you and they want to help you. Usually it's because they're just nasty. So therefore, we don't take rebuke in the right way. And the old generation, like I said, we all knew that there were older people who would sometimes tell us things that sound kind of harsh, but we took it because we knew they really just loved us. That was their style of speaking, or at least I knew people like that, who sometimes would say things, you know, very strong. It didn't bother me a bit because I just knew that they weren't telling me because they were more open about it because it wasn't this American thing just to say, you know, to insult somebody for the sake of insulting them. It was you really care about somebody. You don't want them to leave their lights on. You don't want them to make other mistakes. So it's good to listen to Garis Chacham, to the rebuke of a sage, than somebody who's going to listen to praises. They have studies. There are a lot of, I don't like to talk politics, you know, whether or not you like the president, you don't like the president, but... It's a well-known thing that there are a lot of people that start out good or start out intelligent, and then they get surrounded by people that tell them what they want to hear, like yes people, and then they end up not doing a very good job because they're surrounded by sycophants, I think they call it, or people that just there's nobody to tell them that they're making mistakes and that they're going wrong and. And a person would be much better off with having people that disagree with them or people that tell them when they goof than having people that say, oh, you're so brilliant, you're so wonderful. The president, they gave him the Nobel Prize. He probably thought he was the greatest person in the world. And And, you know, there's a big danger to that. Whether you think he ever had anything good or brilliant, but there's a danger to being like going to a person's head. So it's good. The sages, I don't know if I mentioned last week, there's a famous Vilna Gaon that he actually hired somebody to give him rebuke. Because he said that, you know, he studied Torah all day long, and nobody ever told him that he was making any mistakes. And he knew, we're human, we all make mistakes. So he hired the Dubna Magid, who was a famous, they used to have these preachers who would go into the synagogues and, see, your own rabbi can't say things, you'll get insulted. How dare he tell me, let's fire him. He's nasty, he's yelling. So people would travel to different cities, and then from a different city, they could get up there and say, oh, the shul's not friendly enough, and the shul doesn't take care of the poor. They could get up there and say things, and nobody would take it to heart because he was a stranger. And so he hired the Dubna Magid to give him rebuke. And
it's interesting that the word listen is there twice, because that's usually the problem. People, it's hard to listen to.
Yeah, right. That's very true. I haven't thought about that, but that's a good point. In other words, we hear the rebuke, but we don't know how to listen to it. It's true. Sometimes our friends tried to warn us that we were making a mistake, and we didn't know how to listen to it. So it's good how you listen to the rebuke. Very good. Ki kakola sirin. Now, sometimes you hear sounds. So apparently, again, we don't have these kind of fires anymore. They put stuff on the fire to keep the pots cooking. And sometimes you cook thorns, and they make a lot of noise, but they're not very good fuel. In other words, there's some kind of wood that cooks very well. We have a restaurant, Fuego Mundo. They buy a special kind of wood for their grill that cooks at a very hot temperature, because if you cook quicker, the meat doesn't dry out, and supposedly it'll, if they do it right, it's going to taste better, because that's the trick in meat, is that when you grill a long time, it could dry it out and make it taste like shoe leather. But if you can cook it really fast and keep the juice in there, so they use a certain kind of wood that's supposed to cook at a high temperature, and that gets very hot. The way I know that is that we had to, when we first came there, we had to kasher the grill. And in order to kasher a grill, we had to get it red hot. And most grills won't get that hot. We were able to get that red hot because it's a very hot fuel that they use. They buy a certain kind of wood and certain, forgot the name of the tree.
Whatever it is, it works.
Yeah, I guess it is.
Good for me.
But apparently there's some kind of wood that has thorns in it. That's what serum are. They're a kind of thorn. And it makes a lot of noise. But it doesn't, it just, it like snaps. And then the fuel just dissipates. So, ki kakola sirim tacha satir, it's like these thorns under the pot. Kang soka still gamsa hevel. It's like a, makes a lot of noise, but it doesn't keep the pot warm. It doesn't cook. Maybe it's like leaves or something. I don't know exactly. Okay, verse 8. Ki aoshik yaholo chacham. When a person is pressed, when a person is under pressure, so we believe that people produce under pressure. We do good with responsibilities. Let's say I like having classes to do because it forces me to study. Meaning, like, I know I gotta, if I have to teach a class, so I have to open the book to at least hopefully know it myself a little bit beforehand. We do well with the pressure. I mean, if I wouldn't have the pressure, oh, Shabbos afternoon, I'm a little tired. I go, well, no, I got a class, I got to open the book. So we all do. A wise person gives himself pressure. He gives himself, you know, he has reasons to get out of bed. I got to go. I got to go to this class. I got to help with this person. The Yaved is slave matana. And whereas if a so responsibilities or pressure helps a person grow. A person takes on responsibilities. Whereas a person is looking for freebies, he loses his heart. The Yaved is slave matana. A person looking for something free all the time, he says it corrupts the heart. The grammar is interesting, but in general, we try to avoid gifts if we can. We try to be the givers rather than the receivers. Okay. Tov achris dava mereshis. It's better in the end than the beginning. He's consistent, by the way, with where we started about the day of death better than the day a person is born. It's better to see the end. It's better in the end than in the beginning. In the end, you could see how it turns out. A lot of times people begin things, but they don't finish it. One of the reasons that we make parties when we finish learning, we make a siyum, is that it's good to finish things. There's so many things in life that people start, they never get around to finishing. So it's good. It's good to have to finish things. It's good to have an ending. When you start, you never know if you'll finish it. You won't. A tov erech hapaim. It's good to have patience. Patience is a great quality. There are other people who have migova ruah. They're like filled with air. He talks a lot about this wind. That's really Kohel, about people filled with hot air and wind. And you have some people that they seem to have a lot of confidence that they're the one. They're God's gift to humanity. That's not so good. Much better to have patience. It's much better for a person to realize that, you know, over time things get better. You have to have erech. It's an interesting expression, erech ruach. Like a long, be long spirited, have a long, sometimes things take time. They just, if you don't like today, wait for hopefully tomorrow will be a better day. You know, erech ruach, that's a certain quality of, a person has patience. The erech ruach, their spirit is long spirited. Whereas other people, they have a high spirit, but it's gonna be deflated. Okay. Verse 9. Don't get angry easy. Don't allow a person. He said earlier that it's good to be like serious or to be nervous or to be on, you know, to be worried to make sure things happen. But a person shouldn't get easily like angry or easily worried. A fool gets angry easy. A fool is somebody. Now, by the way, if you look at the Hebrew, the word yenuach means it stays there. Sometimes it's important to get angry. Somebody goofed, somebody messed up, something wrong's going on. You need to tell them, you need to straighten it out. But then the anger goes away. You can't let the anger sit there. So he says the anger by a fool, it's yenuach. The nuach means like noach, it rests there. A fool stays angry. There are people that are angry, so they don't even know anymore why they're angry. It's just, well, you know, so many years ago, such and such, you know, they forgot to invite me, sat me at the wrong table, or didn't say good Shabbos to me. And then the person, like, his anger, like, stays with them. A person should never let the anger stay with them. Even if a person had a reason to be upset, and there are reasons to be upset, let it go, let it fly away. But a fool, he, like, holds on to that anger many, many years later, you know, there's so much. Again, life is short. There's no time to hold on to anger. Fools, they hold on to it. In Hebrew, it's bechek. It stays in their lap. They got that anger all the time. That guy didn't say good Shabbos to me 6 years ago. You know, and unfortunately, I've known people in life like that. That they get angry, and it's sometimes a little thing. Often it's with family. What's really scary is that sometimes people that are close, they have. You know, sometimes they get angry at relatives or something, and such a shame. Like, you know, they have the, and it's so common. Like, people have the family they speak to and the family they don't. Doesn't that sound silly? Like, family, you know, but it's because of anger. So we have to, a person should be careful not to have that. And if he has it, let it go. Don't let it sit in his lap. Don't keep it. Let it go. Verse 10. I'll tell my mash, mahayu shayun shayun. Now, there are people that always think that there were other times were better, other places were better. That's the way people think, you know, now it's no good, it's this, it's that. If a person talks that way, they're not talking from wisdom. There's no time like the present time. There's no place like the present. You got to live, can't always assume that the grass is greener over there, it used to be better. It's got to, you know, if a person says that he's not being realistic, we can't go back. So anyways, what's the purpose in saying that? If a person said, well, the earlier days, that's what today, it's no good. What commonly you hear is like we study about great sages, and we say, well, if we only had rabbis, they don't make them like they used to. You know, if we only had leaders like they had then, but today, and then, you know, time goes by, and then we look back, you know, and we actually had, you know, people around us are good people, and it's a person has to live in the present. Verse 11. It's good to have wisdom with inheritance. So this also, so many different ways to take these verses. So the first view is that if you have money with your wisdom. Some people have wisdom, they have great ideas, but there's no money, so they can't push their ideas. So some people say it's good to have wisdom with wealth. King Solomon had that. He was able to use his wisdom. That's one way to use the word nachla, is like wealth. There's another way. Nachla is, King Solomon was very smart, but unfortunately his kids were not so smart. And they lost the kingdom that he spent his whole life building. And so if you can have wisdom that you can pass down, if you can only make sure that they... one of the big things about Shabbos is that we try to pass that down to our children. It's an inheritance. Like the, we want them to enjoy it. It's something that we treasure. That we, it's a family treasure. We pass it down. So, like, if we can pass down our wisdom, then it's really good. If we can, if our children will learn from the things that we've learned, and it's good for those that see the sun. It's also an interesting expression. Everybody sees the sun, right? It means people in this world. Now, verse 12, there are people that he's talked before about this, about people that are, you can choose what to do in life, whether you can work on wisdom, work on learning, work on growing, or you can go to parties and you can have fun and celebrate. King Solomon was all about wisdom, about the value of wisdom. You might say, well, what the guy that studies a book or goes to a class, he could go and go to a bar and have a fun time. What's better? So the person says, it's better to have a fun time. Why are you, why are you spending so much time on the books and on wisdom? Because the value of wisdom, ki betzel chachma betzel kesef. He says that the, this is verse 12, if you have wisdom, then you have gained something. Betzel, if you're in the shadow of wisdom, what it means you have money, but you have something of value. And wisdom gives a person life. And the Gemara uses this in an interesting way. There are a number of circumstances in life where people could have been harmed, and they something that they learned saved them. Something that they had in the back of their mind that they picked up from school or some wisdom that they had. Wisdom, I'm looking at the second half of verse 12. It's the... wisdom preserves the life of its possessors. I use a lot of words for that. But hachochma techaya baleha. If a person has wisdom, you might say, well, what did he gain from that? It's just knowledge. It's just you can go on Google. Why do you need to spend so much time learning? You can you have a calculator. Why do you got to figure it out? We believe that wisdom can save a person's life. It's you never know the value of wisdom, and so that's certainly a theme or something that was important to Shlomo HaMelech, or really to the Jewish people, or the people of the book, that we value education and wisdom, and that keeps a person alive. There's so many different situations that the wisdom is valued. Well, Chachma Bina, there's just a few different aspects to wisdom. Some people would include them all in wisdom. Sometimes there's knowledge, and then there's the ability to use that knowledge. There are people that are walking encyclopedias. They can tell you the phone book. They can tell you all kinds of, but they don't know how to use that information and apply it to something that's, in other words, there's a certain kind of wisdom that's to, you maybe don't, aren't brilliant, but you don't know all the phone books in every detail, but whatever wisdom you have, you know how to apply it. And that's a wonderful thing. If you're able to take that wisdom and then show how that applies to, because situations always change, and so it takes a wise person to say, I learned once that this would work, so maybe I can. There's a famous rabbi that during the Holocaust, he ran away to the forest, and he survived because when he had studied Gemara, they had translated. He had taken the time to learn the names of the edible shrubs, so that when he was hiding at the time, nobody ever thought about eating these things. Who would want to eat, whatever it is? But he had taken the time, because it was Torah, to learn the mention different things in the laws of brachos, what bracha you make and what. So he had known which kind of mushroom. There's some kind of mushrooms that are good, and some kind of mushrooms you want to stay far away from. And so his wisdom really saved his life. I don't know if it was the same rabbi, it was a different one, that when he, in Israel, when he went after the Holocaust, he had a garden outside his house, and he used to water all of his plants himself. And one of his students said, "Rebbe, you could stay and study Torah. Let me do it." He said, "No, I." He said, "These plants saved my life." You know, he want, it reminds him of he was able to stay alive. But there's the being able to apply the wisdom that you have. So there's a wisdom of information, and then there's a wisdom of using it, and then there's also something called seichel, which means common sense. There are people that have lots of wisdom, but they're very short on common sense. And so we kind of want all of it. You know, we want the, all of it. You know, if we had all three, like if we had the chachma, the bina, the das, but I think when he references chachma, I think he refers to being able to have that wisdom and be able to use it. So then the only question is, does it mean like Torah wisdom or does it mean all wisdom? There is an idea that all wisdom comes from Hashem. In other words, that even people that study, let's say, medicine and animals, and other, you can also see Hashem in nature. Whether or not the way people study it, they get that wisdom, I don't know. So it's really a more complex subject. I think there was a Yiddish expression. The Torah refers to the Jewish people as Am Navam V'Chacham, a wise and sagely people. And so I think the way the expression was, he said, if the Am Navam V'Chacham would only have a bissel seichel. Like, you know, some people are so smart, but they have no, you know, common sense like that. So we pray for all of that, like that we just have the right, you know, we have all that wisdom and also know, like, the common sense part too, how to use that as well. Okay, verse 13. Rei es ha'mais Elokim. A person has to look and see the world that God lives in, see Hashem in life. Ki mi yochel esakin es esher avsa. Now, if a person goofs, how do you fix it? So a person has to think about things, think about his deeds, think about your actions before you do them, because you can't always undo things. You don't always get a do-over. 14. B'yom tov haye tov. If it's a good day, things should be good. Be happy when things are going well. Appreciate when things are good. Sometimes we'll be yom ra, and when you have a bad day, rei gam ezel umazel. Not every day is a bad day. Like good days and bad days. There are some people when there's a bad day, they're angry at Hashem. Hashem, why'd you do this to me? But when it's a good day, you never say, Hashem, why'd you do it? I feel okay today. Why'd you do this to me? You never ask why. You know, if things are good, you never say to Hashem, why is it that I'm things are okay? I have food to eat. You never say, why did you give me food? What did I do to deserve that? But believe, as soon as something goes wrong, a person stubs their toe. Hashem, why did you do that to me? But on a good day, a person should be good, and on a bad day, he has to realize that there's a balance in life. Gam ezel umazel asalukim. Life is a combination. He made one. Sometimes people quote this. Gam ezel umazel. There's like life. A person has to balance things. Davar shalim sa'adam achrav uuma. Sometimes the things happen and there's nothing left. There's good and there's bad. He said, there's all kinds of things you see in life. And now he discusses, there are different things that bothered him. Yesh tzadik oved b'tzidko. There's sometimes a righteous person, a good person. They made a song out of this. Why does the good die young? Or only the good die young? I forgot how. Right? So there's righteous people. They see they don't. Unfortunately, the good ones go. They're not here very long. Sometimes they come and they disappear. You sometimes see like a good person. So if we were in charge, we would keep the good ones, you know, and get rid of the bad. You know, someone has to go. It should be like, you know, why can't it be one of the, you know, the bad ones? Why is it got to be the? Sometimes he said in the world there are mysteries. It appears like a good person seems to go. The Yesh Rasha, and you have plenty of bad people, they're still around. Not sure if he's gonna answer this. We live in a world full of things that we're not gonna fully understand.
Don't we believe, though, that the soul has its mission? So, mm-hmm. If you die young, because the mission
mission accomplished, right? That's right. Yeah.
And living maybe long for Wicked is, you know, giving him the chance to get his act together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, there could be many, many reasons for it. It's just frustrating to us sometimes, you know. It took a long time to get Bin Laden, you know, or whatever. There are a lot of, why did it have to take so long, or why, but he's saying, though, that in life you see all types of things. This next one is very interesting. It's a funny kind of thing. He says, Al tiye tzadik harve. Don't be too much of a tzadik. Now, you might say, why not? Don't be too righteous. The answer is, there's no such thing as too righteous. There's the right amount, and if you overdo it, then you blew it. So there's a famous thing that King Saul, our first Jewish king, was one of the first commands of the king was to destroy the wicked people of Amalek. They were some mass murderers, cannibals, just terrible people called Amalek who Hashem commanded us to destroy. And King Saul just, it was hard for him. It was hard. He had a Jewish heart. And he just felt, couldn't bring himself to totally wipe out Amalek. So the Medrash says that when he did that, Hashem said, you're being too much of a tzaddik. You can't be more righteous than God. If God said you're supposed to be wiped out, then, you know, that's what you're supposed to do. Don't take more pity than their creator. So what happened? King David ran away, and he was trying to protect his throne, and he saw King David as a usurper of his throne. And when he was running away, he stopped at a city of priests, because King David was a spiritual person, and he was used to going to the Beis HaMikdash, to these temples, to pray to Hashem. So as he was running away, he hadn't eaten for 3 days, and he stopped to pray to Hashem to save his life, to help him, and he asked one of the priests if he could have a little bit of the bread that they had there, the bread in the house of Hashem. And the priest, sure, you know, you're starving, whatever. He gave him the bread. So King Saul thought, oh my goodness, the priests are supporting my enemy. One of the balance to the kings was the priests, and he had certain mental strains. You know, we know that King Saul was suspicious, and I guess a little paranoid, or however you would say, Hashem put that paranoia on him for whatever reason. He wiped out the city. He wiped out the Kohanim. He didn't take pity. The Kohanim said, "We didn't know." He said, "Sure, you expect me to believe that?" And he acted like Stalin. He just wiped them all out. So this was the king that took pity. Hashem gave him a certain amount of pity. He used it on Amalek. And instead, there's a person is put in the world. He's given a certain amount of pity. And there's a funny kind of thing that they say that some of the Nazis were animal lovers. They took very good care of their pets, and their dogs and other things. And they were mass murderers. And Hashem gave them a certain amount of pity or a certain amount of, and they didn't know how to use it. And so a person shouldn't be more righteous than Hashem. He has to know where to use his and don't be too smart either. You could be too wise, and you could be too righteous, and you could be too smart. There can be too much of any good thing. Even a good thing you can use too much of. We know that in different ways, but in a certain way, that's what he's saying over here. Al ti tzadik harve, don't be too righteous. The person has to. The Rambam talks about this as being on the middle road. You know, being trying to. We're not extremists. We really don't. We don't look to be extremists. Too righteous. There's a certain amount of righteousness that is appropriate, and then if you're too righteous, for example, it's an interesting thing. You're not supposed to give away all of your money to charity, because you know why? Very simply, because if you give it all away, how are you going to be able to give in the future? And you have to take care of yourself and your family. You give a certain percentage to charity. But if you give it all away, then it's that's more than you're required. Some people say the rabbis will find you a leniency if you want to give away more than the required amount to charity or to. But a person shouldn't there's a certain balance. We call moral qualities midos. Midos means a measure. So a person has to be careful. He shouldn't be shouldn't be overly righteous, and he shouldn't be overly wise. There's a certain balance. There's a certain normalcy, a certain, and that's also a form of wisdom. How to know exactly what's the right road to go, and so that's what he's referencing here. And then one more verse here, 17. Al-tir shahar, but don't be too wicked. Now, what does he mean, don't be too wicked? He implies you can be a little wicked. Sometimes a person needs to be tough or needs to be strict, but don't overdo it. And if a person is going to be a wicked person, then he could die before his time, or he's not using life. We say the wicked are dead even when they're alive, because their life is for no purpose. And so if a person is too wicked, then his life is wasn't created for that. Okay, we'll stop here on verse 18.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it, so that he can continue that site.